Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 12th of December, and I'm recording at 10:02 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time in London. Okay, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But just first, let's have a quick look at what's going on here, or what has gone on here this week. And it's all been all about oil, and it's all about nerves starting to crack, and stock markets taking a hit, and retreat to the bond markets. And that's the big story overall. Looking just at today's stock market moves, I mean, the Asia Pacific indices, just over half of them, we're a little bit higher in here today. Not a bad move on Japan, helped by the weakness of the yen yesterday. That was offset by India, which has now seen its biggest down week, although the overall reaction is no greater than other reactions that we have seen since Modi arrived on the scene. Nevertheless, the moved down from the recent high was the biggest one-week decline since Modi's era, and it also came from the most overextended position relative to the 200-day rising 200-day moving average. So it looks to me like there's a very good chance that this will be a bit of an outside correction. That's not because anything actually has gone wrong in India, or at least certainly not that I'm aware of. And one thing that's gone incredibly well for India, more perhaps than almost any other country, is the weakness of crude oil. And my goodness, it is still weak. More on that in a moment. But again, I've mentioned that India, I think, imports over 80% of its oil. So this is a heaven-sent move for an economy that was rare among global economies in the sense that it was experiencing inflation pressures. Okay, now, what about these European stock markets? Well, they were clobbered in here today. They've been coming down, having rallied back up to their highs not long ago. This month they've been coming off those highs, and some big hits in here today, sort of 2.75% to the downside for a number of indices, including Germany. The Euro Stoxx 50 index down almost is down 2.91%. And Wall Street got clipped, closed on the lows of the day here, down 1.79% on the Dow, and the S&P were down 1.62%. Okay, so what's frightening them so much? Well, I think that there are a number of factors. First, stock markets were overbought. Having had that excellent rally, very extended rally that started from that mid-December low and took a number of indices to mid-October low and took a number of indices to new all-time highs, with the help of the celebration of the weakening oil price. And now people are worrying about the oil price decline, and they're also wondering if it's a big sort of deflationary signal here overall. I think not. We do have disinflationary pressures here. They've been going on for really quite some time. That's one of the reasons why we've had quantitative easing. It's another reason why we've had slow GDP growth. And I think that that's really going to continue. But looking at this week's reaction here overall, well, let's just take the USA. Why should the USA be concerned? Well, because it's just about the world's largest energy producer. right now, and on some measures it definitely is. It doesn't export it, not yet, but this is causing a bit of havoc here for the shale producers, and that is, of course, part of the intention in terms of the Saudis behind this move and saying, why should we do anything other than just let the market play itself out in here? And of course, I have been mentioning in this week's audios that the first reaction of countries is to oil exporter countries is to pump out more oil because they see their earnings going down, and so the answer is to try to just get more volume earnings, and that just drives the oil price down. Down even further overall. So, how big a well? Let me bring in some other factors here. Europe, this is a nervous situation overall. The Greek stock market has slumped, and its bond yields have pushed higher. This is nothing like the last time around when this took place. There are all kinds of defenses in place just to make sure that it doesn't spread like a disease the way it did several years ago. But it also, though, is an indication that things are in danger of unraveling here in terms of the EU's overall position as these economies sink into their own deflationary recessions. And then the ECB has been in a mighty battle with its governing council, and not least the German representatives on that governing council, because the ECB wants to bring in full quantitative easing, QE. And the Germans are resisting that, and they're getting some support from France, surprisingly. Well, and not surprisingly, if you think that of that relationship or what France wants that relationship to be. So we have to wait until this meeting, this sort of council meeting, on the I think it's on the 25th of January, and they will determine what the ECB can actually do in all probability. Now, if they tie Mario Draghi's hands, I would not be surprised if he just resigned. I have no insight on that, but he wouldn't be able to, well, they'd be removing the somewhat modest degree of independence that he actually had. And so I would be very surprised if he didn't resign, especially as he's put up with an awful lot of flack. He's a very capable guy. he doesn't need this. On the other hand, the German economy is pretty soft. All of the European economies are under pressure. They may back down, in which case then Mr. Draghi would be able to go ahead and open up the monetary stimulus, which would help somewhat, but really what Europe needs is to get its economic act together, get policies together which are helpful. And it's really not playing out. And my long-term view is that and those of you who've known me over the years have know that I haven't had to say this before, but my long-term view now is the odds are, in my opinion, certainly greater that we will get some sort of fragmentation of the European Union, and with some countries pulling out of the euro, and that will obviously worry the stock markets in the region. Keep government bond yields low for the most part, certainly among the stronger economies. And it will weigh on stock markets. That'll create opportunities. It's already created opportunities. I've written about the German class automobile manufacturers in here, which are cheaper than their international rivals, and they provide a better product, in my opinion, and I think in many other people's opinion overall. So, this is not it's not a situation of avoid Europe at all costs. I think almost quite the opposite. It makes it look quite attractive. Well, what about the USA? When everybody's had this sort of flight to quality, and it's become a big fashion. But that's an expensive market. That's the most expensive stock market out there. And people were confidently saying a few weeks ago, this is the broker, more of the broker type of optimism, saying, well, it's fairly valued. The reality is it's right up at the upper side of the range on many of these valuation measures. But they say, but we expect the strong growth and so on, and the growth has been pretty good. But don't forget that over 12% of the U.S. economy's capital expenditure and growth, strong growth, had come from the oil sector, largely due to the shale activity, and that's going to get nailed. So that will be pushing that. Even if markets just stayed sideways, that would be pushing the valuations higher as we go into 2015. So that's being reflected by the markets, and I think we should assume that we have a correction underway. I think this is more than a reaction; it will be a correction. Will it stay above the October lows? Well, there's a reasonable chance that it will, but it, as Harold Macmillan used to say, depends on events, dear boy, events. So we will see, but it's going to be a little bit of a nervous period in here overall, and I think that long-term investors who have some cash, it will play into your hands. It'll give you buying opportunities because, when all the dust settles, then people will say, we'll be able to assess what have we actually got here. Well, it'll be a situation of slow global GDP growth. The U.S. growth will be dented somewhat because of the shale situation that I just mentioned. And therefore, we won't be that far from the sweet spot here, despite all the concern over what's going on in Europe, and I haven't even touched on Russia yet. So I think that long-term investors who are looking to deploy some money, I would have, well, I'll tell you what I've done, and that's one of the reasons why I'm enthusiastic about it. Maybe I didn't say that quite correctly, but well, I put my money where I think I should, and so I've got a lot of it in India. Now, India is likely to see a correction in here. That would create another buying opportunity, and I would want to participate in that. I would not do it in here on Monday, but I would certainly be getting more interested if we were to see a pullback, something like a 10% 10% correction possibly. And China, I have that's my second biggest position here overall, and I would I'll nibble some more if we see this pull lower, and I think we've got every possibility of seeing a medium-term reaction and consolidation here, having had that initial powerful upward move by the China A-share index, which moved up 40%. This year in US dollar terms. So I think that's interesting. I think Japan is interesting. I think Shinzo Abe will win the election. Those are the ones that I would really go for in the Asia Pacific region. And I think in Europe, look at BMW, Daimler, and Volkswagen. These are very, very attractive valuations for top automobile manufacturers. And I'm talking about estimated PEs that are under 10%. I think actually Daimler is slightly above, according to Bloomberg. I was looking at it earlier today. Yields are attractive, near that 3% to a little higher here overall. So there are certainly opportunities. Wall Street, I'd like to see some decent decent pullbacks, and you know, those go well. It's they're they happen you know, at irregular intervals, but it's a fact of life. We get overextended on the upside, as we did the end of last month, and then you get corrections, and sometimes they can be quite sharp. Okay, so that's what I see in terms of that overall background. Russia meltdown here. Index, that RTSI dollar sign, is, so it's shown in US dollar terms, breaking down below the 800 level. It's not back yet to its low that we saw in 2008-9, but it's heading certainly in that direction. And the ruble, goodness gracious, you know, this is in free fall here. Remember, it was in the 40 range against the US dollar, 40 rubles to the US dollar a month ago. Well, it's 58.28 today, 58.28 here. So that raises the interesting question: what will Putin actually do? Will he be shamed and chagrined and humbled, and then start trying to make friends again and behave himself? Well, that would be a nice script, wouldn't it? And I don't believe it for a minute, although anything's possible, I guess. Will he lash out? It's quite a risk of that. I think that is in line with his temperament. And it's a dangerous situation, and so Europe has to deal with that as well. That's also a factor for the US to be concerned about. And what about the crude oil situation? Here, overall, everybody's talking it down. They're all talking it down to the $40 level. I don't think it'll get there, but it'll get closer. How will we know closer to it than it is today? And it's certainly, well, it got a lot closer today. The WTI, that's a US price, closing at around 57.46, 57.46, and that's down nearly $2.50 in here today. Absolutely amazing. The Brent, we're getting some after-hours trading here, but 61.43, and that's down two and a quarter dollars in here overall. I think that this is again extremely good, as I've already said, for consumers generally. It is good for countries that import the oil. It is a problem for the countries that produce considerable amount of amounts of oil, let alone our major producers. So this is going to end in some havoc here among the producers. And you know, weak ones: Nigeria, Venezuela, Russia, as much as any other. So this is going to be destabilizing a factor here, and some of the Middle Eastern countries are obviously suffering from this situation. My guess, you're getting a downward acceleration, but it's not in free fall. Watch for just a bigger move to the downside. I mean, they're pretty big. You're going down $2.50 or so a day. But when you get 3 or 4 times that, let's say it fell $10 or something like that, that would be awfully close to, well, that would look climactic. I think it'll be a struggle to, then you'll get a short covering rally and you'll get some buying overall, and we'll see. We will reassess. But my view that it's just that this happened sooner than I'd actually expected, but I've been saying for years that before the end of this decade, the oil would have put the the big spikes to the upside behind. They'd be in the past, and we'd have lower energy costs in real terms, and we certainly have that in here today. Everybody assumes that oil will go back up into a $90 to $100 range. Well, it could get up there. You can create a fright. You can get some speculative activity in there. I'm talking about the next few years now. You could. It's not hard to script factors that could contribute to a push up. There could be some accidents. There will be some problems with some of the production. That's the whole point of the Saudis' move. In here is to knock out some of the production, and so that could easily occur. But will it stay up there? No. And my feeling is that anything I think that it'll take some worry or big speculation, which we get from time to time, to push it up to the $90 to $100 level, and anything up there, let alone higher, it's on borrowed time, and will come back down quite quickly. So going forward, I think that again, this lower energy costs in real terms is going to be a very positive a factor overall, and this move to the downside can knock back enough production to enable the price to firm, what, in something in the $70 to $90 range, quite possibly. What we will see, as and when oil moves back up to those levels, and it'll probably happen at some time next year, that will then encourage more production to come on stream. It's inevitable, and we will almost certainly see more countries going into the fracking activity. And of course, then you get all the renewables, and those are moving forward or progressing, becoming more efficient, less costly. So that's a positive development here. So, after a frightening week, and we can expect a bit more of this. I think that in terms of the big picture, I can think of a good many more bullish points than actual bearish points. And the weaker oil prices, once they stabilize at a somewhat higher level, I think that's a very bullish development in terms of global activity. We don't have much in the way of serious food shortages. We've got a shortage of chocolate that'll traumatize a lot of people around Christmas time and Valentine's Day and so on. The fact is that in terms of basic staple foods, the outlook is improving, and the outlook will be improving on in terms of cattle too. That's it takes time, for the breeding to occur and build herds up again, but that'll bring those prices down. So I think that we don't have to worry about much inflation, although the central banks are certainly trying to achieve it. To get an inflation problem, I think we will have to see the global economy synchronized in a period of growth, expanding growth. And we haven't had that for a long time, but we will get back to that eventually. So again, that will cause, as I've just said, some inflationary problems when we do get there, but don't expect that anytime soon. Therefore, we have an environment of slow growth, slow global GDP growth. I think the U.S. will be careful about raising interest rates still, and that means that quality shares on attractive valuations. You know, you don't want to pay 40 or 50 times earnings. I don't want to pay 20 times earnings for anything. But there are plenty of lower multiple value situations, which the service is always pointing out. Okay. Now, what else to mention in here? These government bonds, the yields here today, the U.S. 10-year down to 2.08. Now, that's the lowest we've been since the October low, obviously not all that long ago. And they got down very briefly. We had a spike down to a low, this is U.S. 10-year, down to 1.862%, 1.862, and we are at 2.08. Here today, so not all that far off it. And I had earlier in the year, and for most of the year, I'd been worrying about, you know, the next move back up to 3 and above, saying that would be a little warning signal, little wake up call when we saw that. But it's certainly not going in that direction, and I think that eventuality of a push up in these bond yields, that's just moved further ahead on the calendar. And that will be favorable. Still have these government yields quite low. And a lot of people worry about this and say, well, my God, that must mean that global growth is really going to deteriorate significantly. Well, there will be weak pockets, not least among oil producers. But remember that the lower energy prices, the low interest rates that we're actually seeing, the monetary support that's actually taking place, all these things are favorable overall. And I think actually China will likely in the next couple of years do a little better than people are actually expecting. I think the stock market's a lead indicator there. Of that potential, and that will certainly be the government's aim. They've been worrying for several years about wringing out the property speculators. Well, now they're trying to revive. Well, have been reviving the stock market, and we'll want to be reviving the economy, and we'll do so. So this is certainly not a. I'd say this is certainly not a terrifying environment overall, provided Vladimir Putin is kept in check. And I said to, you know, don't be surprised if you get a choppy environment from time to time. A lot of people are also thinking, well, they're remembering, rather, what happened last January of 2014. Well, December was a very powerful stock market month, and really the whole autumn and early winter was very powerful, led by Wall Street's gains and also Japan's gains. And we had that decent shakeout in in January. So again, people have had that on their minds and have been selling a little bit early here in December, as we are seeing. Now, going still further ahead, we have my optimism in terms or my degree of certainty about, you never have certainty in markets, but I've been predicting for years that I felt that we were heading for a secular bull market. We'd have to get through some turbulent years, and we'd have to get back onto a normal monetary policy environment, and that hasn't happened here yet. But if anything, the secular bull market is, and I'll use Wall Street as the lead point on that, is ahead of the progress that I was actually expecting. And I feel more confident about it as a long-term projection. I'm talking about 10 to 20 years here to the upside. And the reason for that is, if you remember the factors that I was mentioning, the two most important ones by far, first one I was very confident of, accelerating rate of technological innovation. Well, I don't even have to comment on that any further. Anybody who looks around and sees what's taking place, they know that's in the bag, and it's an extraordinary thing. It also creates some real disinflationary pressures, because it brings down a lot of costs for manufacturers and just about everyone else. And that is also a factor in these long-term government bond yields. It's not just because the economy is weak and likely to move weaker, as a lot of people are worrying about. The second big, really important plank for the secular bull market that I talked about was lower energy prices in real terms. Well, I think that's it's not as sure a thing as the technological innovation acceleration, but the odds of that being coming right have improved considerably in the last few months. I always thought it was going to happen, and it's happening earlier than I'd actually expected. That's bullish. Overall, and we still have again, we're enjoying an environment of the real triumph of capitalism. That's been going on for quite a few years now, but you think back to when the last secular bull market began, and that was back in 1982. Well, it was largely a Western event, and you had a few smaller, punchy-looking Asian economies. Japan was an emerging market. Well, now you've had a lot more developed economies around the globe, and you have far more operating overall capitalist economic systems, whether it's the command capitalism, as we see from China and some other Asian countries, to the democratic capitalism model. But that's really very much in charge. What about poor old Europe? Will that be a drag on all this? Well, yes, yes, perhaps. But if the euro breaks up and the EU breaks up, that would be traumatic. But I think if we could go back somehow, what I've talked about from time to time, and instead have just a European free trade area, countries don't need to all have the same currency. They don't need to be run by bureaucrats from Brussels. Let them be in charge of their own own policies. If they get in a little bit of trouble, they can devalue a little bit with their own currencies. And you have a genuine free trade area. I think political relationships between countries would be improving rather than deteriorating. You'd have fewer extreme left-wing to extreme right-wing politicians actually emerging. I think you'd have far more GDP growth because the wonderful talents of European people and the natural cultural strengths that they actually have could cause the region to boom again. If we're still struggling with the EU, then don't expect too much. Okay, what are the what else is there to mention in here? Precious metals. I haven't talked about precious metals at all. My guess is that they're in a recovery phase here. I have seen the we have all seen that some dramatic two-way volatility after the long plunge to the downside. And I had said that that indicates that demand is really coming back in and even has the upper hand because we're starting to get rising lows now. It will take more time. I expect plenty more backing and filling here overall, but I think that we've there's a good chance that we've either seen the lows or are very close to them. And that the a good cyclical recovery is underway. Now that two-way churning activity, unfortunately, we do see in some of these stock markets, indicating that a degree of supply is coming in. We don't have that one-way traffic favoring the bulls anymore. Here, but overall, I think there are more medium to longer term bullish factors than bearish factors by a long shot. And on that note, I had better say good night and wish you a fantastic weekend. All the best.